From NPR News in Washington, I'm Paul Brown. A person close to the longtime New York Yankees owner George Steinbrenner tells the Associated Press that Steinbrenner has died, and the New York Times says Steinbrenner's family confirms the death. Steinbrenner turned 80 this month. Earlier this morning, there were reports he'd suffered a major heart attack. He turned over day-to-day control of the Yankees to his two sons in 2007. BP Oil is testing a new cap on its leaking Gulf of Mexico oil well today. Now that the cap's installed, the company hopes it can close valves, reduce the amount of oil coming out, and that the device will stay in place. BP spokesman Kent Wells says the company is also doing a survey to determine that the first of two relief wells is positioned correctly. He says it's very close to reaching the main well.
We only have another 30 feet to drill before our final casing point, and so we want to make sure that this well is perfectly lined up. So that's why we're doing this confirmation run.
BP thinks a relief well could reduce oil pressure out of the main well and make possible a permanent stop to the leak. A White House commission looking into how the well rupture happened and how to make sure something similar doesn't happen again is in its second day of meetings in New Orleans today. An Iranian nuclear scientist who vanished during a religious pilgrimage to Mecca last year has shown up at Pakistan's embassy to the U.S. in Washington. A U.S. official says Shamram Amiri has decided to return to Iran of his own free will. That can't be confirmed. But the case is an odd one for the U.S., which accuses Iran of trying to develop nuclear weapons. NPR's Jackie Northam is with us. And Jackie, do we know why and how Amiri has been able to move around the U.S. before showing up at the Pakistani embassy?
Certainly not. The U.S. administration has always, the Obama administration has always been very tight-lipped about this case. In fact, they never admitted that he was actually here in the country. And the only reason that it did come out is because of videotapes that have been released. And one of them shows Amiri sitting at a desk saying that he's studying for a PhD and he's living in Arizona and moving around of his own free will. However, Paul, there is another video that was released just a month ago, close to when this one was. And it's of a man purportedly to be Amiri again saying, look, he was kidnapped by the CIA and possibly Saudi Arabian intelligence, and he's being held against his free will here. So it's very unclear what's going on with this story.
How did he end up at the Pakistani embassy?
How he ended up there is still uncertain. We're probably going to find out a little bit more about that today. But the fact is that the Pakistan embassy, as the Iranians have an interest section there, pretty much like the U.S. does in Switzerland, because the U.S. and Iran broke relations in 1979. So this is how they try to keep diplomatic channels open. And the Pakistanis do that here in Washington.
Thanks very much. That's NPR's Jackie Northam. The government reports the trade deficit for the U.S. at its highest level in a year and a half in May. Foreign cars, computers, and clothing are among the items in the most demand from overseas. This is NPR News. There's been a second night of violence in Northern Ireland. At least 55 people are injured. As Larry Miller reports from London, they were attacked by Catholic dissidents who do not accept the peace process.
Police in riot gear tried to fend off bottles and stones while water cannon dispersed angry crowds attempting to block a Protestant parade in the mostly Catholic area of North Belfast. It was one of many parades to mark the victory of the Protestant William of Orange over the Catholic King James II in 1690. The Catholic political party Sinn Féin condemned the violence, blaming it on a small group of dissidents. This was echoed by Jimmy Spratt of the Protestant Democratic Unionists.
The amount of violence is worrying. It's worrying the fact that guns were back on the streets, that a number of police officers have been injured.
But Spratt says since the peace deal, there's been far less violence during the Protestant marching season. For NPR News, I'm Larry Miller in London.
Afghanistan's president is apologizing for the killing of three British NATO troops by a rogue Afghan soldier. The soldier reportedly fired a rocket-propelled grenade and caused several injuries as well. Separately, the advocacy group Human Rights Watch says that if the Afghan government makes any deals for control with insurgent groups, including the Taliban, women could suffer greatly. A new Human Rights Watch report says there's been no focus on the welfare of women as Afghanistan considers involving the Taliban more in the country's administration. The report also says that women are suffering threats and violence in areas where the Taliban currently have major influence. I'm Paul Brown in Washington.